Now the gospel we've just read is meant to teach us is the importance of prayer and petition, prayer and asking. As we reflect on the importance of prayer, prayer in asking God, we first of all should remind ourselves that all the needs, our own and those of others, and they are manifold and multiple, all the needs in the world of which we become conscious are meant by God to have one primary purpose. They should arouse us to pray so that the moment we see or hear about any need, our own, no one has to tell us. We know what we need. The needs of others that we hear about or observe. The primary purpose, now this is a large statement, the primary purpose why there are needs in the world is that seeing those needs, or in our own case, experiencing them, we should immediately betake ourselves to prayer. That's the main reason why there are so many needs in the world. The logic of God is obvious. He creates needs. Or more kindly, he permits them that we might be roused to ask for help. The two words, need and prayer, in God's mind, are correlative. But secondly, as the narrative we read indicate, the needs for which we are to pray are not only our own, but also those of others. Some people might say, well, I've got so many problems of my own that frankly, I suggest that others pray for themselves. I've got enough to pray for me. Well, true enough, we've got a lot of problems of our own, and they should all inspire us to prayer. But we are to pray not only for our own needs, but also for those of others. Why? Well, first of all, because a lot of people are not sufficiently aware either of their needs. You know, it's one thing to have a problem. It's another thing to know you've got a problem. I hope that's not saying something which everybody just takes for granted. Consequently, unless someone recognizes a problem, and it's not always the one who has it, who would pray? Besides, when we pray for others, the prayer is specially efficacious because it is inspired by charity. When we pray for ourselves, it's almost obvious, provided there's a spark of faith, that a person is in need, he or she will pray. So we are to pray as the official who came to Christ begged for his daughter. They might say, well, it was kind of self-interested prayer. Nevertheless, he was asking Christ for someone else. Well, here I'm talking to the right audience. That's the main reason you were founded, to pray and sacrifice not just for yourselves, but for others. Finally, and in a way most unexpectedly, take the two, what shall we call them, problems or needs. Yes, it's scarcely a problem. That's a tragedy from one viewpoint, an opportunity from another. When we pray, and remember the Gospels were written not just, in fact, they were scarcely written for the age in which they were written. The Gospels were written for us, centuries later. And you notice the two petitions of Christ. The one to raise a dead girl back to life, and the other to heal a woman that had been hemorrhaging for 12 years, evidently a chronic disease. In both cases, the request was for a miracle. Do you hear that? We're supposed to pray for miracles. That's right. What's a miracle? Something that naturally couldn't be done. But who's saying that prayer is natural? When we pray, we ask for something which nature by itself couldn't do. If there was ever an age in the history of the church when we should ask for miracles, it's today. And remember, the needs are not only physical, as described by the evangelist, but spiritual, and between physical sickness and death, and spiritual sickness and death, there should be no doubt which is more grievous, or, humanly speaking, which is more difficult to relieve, and in the case of death, restore back to life. Consequently, the last lesson of the Gospel that we just read, that is the last lesson we have time to talk about, is that we are to pray for miracles, expecting the humanly unexpected, and asking for the humanly impossible. Sure, it will take faith, but who says that we who pray are not to have a strong faith? And the measure of our faith, listen, will be the degree of impossibility for that for which we ask. How's that? The more impossible, and we're inspired to ask for it, the more faith it will take. So what? We supply the faith, and God supplies the miracle. Let's ask our Savior to teach us the three big lessons we so briefly surface in this homily. First, that the purpose that God has in permitting so many problems, crises, and needs in the world is that we might pray. Secondly, that we might pray not just for ourselves, which we do almost instinctively if we believe, but especially to become more and more deeply aware of the needs of others. That's not easy to come by. And thirdly, that we might not hesitate to ask for miracles, those marvels of God's grace, which He inevitably grants in answer to those who pray as Christ prays the woman, who pray with deep faith.